إخواني ready إن شاء الله.
بدي الحمد لله.
أوكي. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن ولا وبعد. Brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته and welcome to our weekly درس. This is درس number 37. I apologize for the last two occasions. I believe due to traveling, the mistake and the issue is from my end and not the Sheikh's or anyone else's. I apologize for that. Inshallah, things should run smooth going on. Please arrive and attend on time, inshallah. Without any further delay, I would like to pass the screen and the mic to the Sheikh, and the Sheikh can begin. فليتفضل مشكورا شيخنا شيخ سالم العمري.
جزاك الله خير. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, this is our weekly class, The Virtues of Islam, Fadail al-Islam. In the last sessions, we talked about some of the characteristics of the manhaj of the Salaf, the methodology of the three generations, in understanding the methodology they adopt and they apply and they follow to understand the revelation, the Kitab and Sunnah. So the first characteristics, this is recapping, that they avoid using invented terms or ambiguous terms in matters of aqidah. So when it comes to the aqidah, they stick to the Quran and Sunnah. The second characteristics, that they avoid argument in the deen. The jadal in the deen is not one of their main characteristics. The Salaf, they are not known for arguing about the deen, because the deen is clear. Allah said, the Prophet said, you want it? Welcome. You don't want it? You will be held accountable before the day of resurrection. Allah is our witness. We conveyed the message to you and you rejected it. That's it. So they don't argue. And this should be always our practice and our attitude. We don't argue. We just present the deen to the people. Allah said, the Prophet said, without sugarcoating it. It is so beautiful. Without misconstruing the text to conform with what the people want or to please them. Now, we call a spade a spade. We present the truth. Whoever wants the truth should accept it. Whoever doesn't want to accept it, it's up to him. There's a day will come where he will regret for that. So they avoid the argument in the deen. And if there was a need to argue, they argue in the best way. Best way. The third characteristics of the Salaf's methodology, that they negate all these things we covered. They negate the existence of any contradiction between reason, intellect, and revelation. So in Islam, alhamdulillah, there is no contradiction between reason and the wahi, intellect and the wahi, between the intellect and the kitab or the sunnah. You will never find. And today you will proceed the fourth characteristics of the Salaf's methodology. I hope that you are taking notes. I hope that you revise this book there. I hope so. The Salaf, they pay a lot of attention to the importance of isnad. The isnad. What does this mean? This deen, my dear brothers and sisters, reached us through the isnad. What is isnad? The isnad is the reliable chain of narrators who heard the message. It started from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the companion would say, I heard the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying this. His students, the tabi'i, would say, I heard the companion saying this. Then the students of the tabi'i, the third generation, would say, I heard my sheikh saying this, until it reached us. Alhamdulillah, we are the ummah of the isnad. And this is a unique characteristic for the Muslims. No one has this quality, has this privilege, has this science. No nation whatsoever on the face of the globe. No one, except the Muslims. We are the ummah of isnad. That's why when we say the Prophet said, we are confident that this is what the Prophet ﷺ said. Because our traditions reach us orally. Besides the writing, orally. I heard. And every narrator is a reliable narrator. And we know about him. We know everything about the narrator. We have encyclopedias, Kutub al-Rijal, where we go and check the narrator. No nation has this science at all. Orientalists themselves, they confessed. The Muslim, they have the right to be proud of having such science. Because through this science, you can falsify the authenticity of the narration or authenticate it because of the isnad. So the isnad is part of the deen. And you have to keep in mind that the deen came down from Allah Azza wa Jal, the Wahi, the Quran, the revelation through Jibreel alayhi salam, the Archangel Gabriel. And Jibreel, he read the Quran to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam orally. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he heard it from Jibreel. And then he read it to the Sahaba and they heard it from him. And then there are writers writing the wahi. So all the recitations and the different types of recitations, al-qira'at, reach us through the isnad. That this is how the Prophet ﷺ read the Quran. The same thing, his ahadith, his sayings, reported to us through the isnad. And the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ was also written at his time. Sahaba, they were writing the hadith. The compilation and classification happened later on. So some people, they're saying, oh, Bukhari came later, Muslim. They think that is the time when people started collecting the hadith. That's not true. That is the process and the phase of the classification and categorization and the compilation and putting them in book forms. Okay? So you have to keep this in mind. So we are the ummah of the isnad, and the isnad is very, very important in the life of the Muslim. Without isnad, anyone can say whatever he wants to say. So I request each one of you, when you hear something, a hadith, check the isnad. Check its authenticity. You receive message on your mobile phone. Hadith is saying something. The Prophet says this. Never ever forward it and send it to anyone before you verify and check it's authentic. Otherwise, you are a liar. You are lying against your own Prophet. Because on the net, there are many, many narrations which are fabricated, unauthentic. There are many narrations of the Shia from the books of the Shia and the Sunnah they keep forwarding. So you have to check the isnad. You don't know the authenticity? Ask the experts, scholars of hadith. Who will tell you, yes, this hadith is authentic. The expert of this hadith is unauthentic. Not that you just heard something, you hear it and you say the Prophet ﷺ said this. No, you are a liar, as the Prophet ﷺ said. Whoever just reports, كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ كَذِبًا أَنْ يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا يَسْمَعُ. It's enough, okay, for a person to be called a liar when he conveys whatever he hears. I heard this, so I convey it and I relate it. No, verify. That's why the scholars of hadith, they accept the narration of an innovator, Ruwayat al-Mubtadi', a narrator, but he is Mubtadi', he is doing bid'ah. Can we, and he is reliable, trustworthy, but he is practicing bid'ah in his life. Can his narration be accepted or rejected? So because the methodology of the scholars of hadith, the criterion, it is so solid and robust and fair. So they said, if he's not a caller, if he doesn't call people towards his bid'ah, And he is reliable, trustworthy. We accept his narration because he is trustworthy. And he is not a liar. So maybe he has a bid'ah of i'tizal from the Mu'tazila, for example. But he is reliable. And he is not calling the people towards his bid'ah. So his narration can be accepted. Maybe he is from the Kharijites, the Khawarij, like Imran ibn Hittan. Imam Bukhari reported a hadith for him in his Sahih. Because the Khawarij, of course, they would never lie. Because lying to them is kufr. Lying to them is kufr. But then the scholars of hadith, they said, accept the Rafida, the Shia, Rafida. We don't accept their narrations. Why? Because to them to lie is permissible. Lying, telling lies is permissible for them. That's why Imam Shafi'i said, you can debate with anyone except those Rafida. Why? He said, the moment you put him in the corner and he feels that he's defeated, he will agree with you. He will agree with you. I said, I agree with you. What can you do? Now he is using taqiyya, he lies. They can't do anything. So if you want to debate with them, tell them, if this is in, of course, limited, small circles between scholars, not in public, no. You don't debate with the people of bid'ah in public because they are going to confuse the masses, especially the people who are from Ahl Sunnah, and they don't know. Because they are going to mention narrations which are not true. But in small circles, scholarly atmosphere, and you want to debate with them or discuss with them, tell them, put down your books, your references. Mention what are the books that you refer to. The Quran we know, but what are the other books of hadith that you, in your madhab, you consider them reliable ones? Because I, as a Sunni, Quran and the Sunnah, and I have my own books. I have Bukhari, Muslim, Nasa'i, Tirmidhi, etc. So I want you to do the same thing. Say, no, I will not make you sorry. Why? Because now you are going to tell him things that are mentioned in their books, and he will deny. Say, I don't agree with this. I don't agree with that. I don't accept this. So he wastes your time. So that's why Imam Shafi'i said you can't debate with anyone but except the Rafida. Okay. And when it comes to also to the history and the books of history, many of those narrators are from the Rafida, liars. One of the famous ones among them is Abu Mukhnif. Mukhnif is a famous liar. So be careful. So isnad is part of the deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hujurat, ayah number 6, يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن جاءكم فاسق بنبأ فتبينوا أن تصيبوا قوما بجهالة وتصبحوا على ما فعلتم نادمين. الله سبحانه وتعالى, He warns us here. O believers, if an evildoer brings you any news, verify it. Verify it. So you do not harm people unknowingly, becoming regretful for what you have done. Let us reflect. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. So Allah is calling all the believers. As Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, when you hear this, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, pay attention, because something important is going to be said. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Yes, in ja'akum fasiq. When a fasiq, wicked, untrustworthy person. Fasiq, sinner, evildoer. Because the fusuq is to come out of the shell. That's the meaning of it, linguistically. When the date, the piece of date, the date is so ripe, when you hold it, the meat comes out of the skin. They say, فسقت البلحة. So the skin will be separated from the meat itself. The flesh itself, the meat itself of the date. So this is the real linguistic, the literal meaning. Then it is used metaphorically for a person who has come out from the norm and the normal attitude of the Muslim. Islam is telling him this. This is the boundary. No, he came out and he crossed the boundary. So we call him fasiq. So one who drinks alcohol, one who womanizes, he's a fasiq because he trespassed the limit and crossed the limit. So Allah is saying here, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنْ جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَأٍ. When a fasiq comes to you, brings to you a news, any news, بِنَبَأٍ. بِنَبَأ. نَبَأ here is نَكِرَة. I hope that you are taking notes and you know now what is نَكِرَة and مَعْرِفَة. This I repeated many times. بِنَبَأ. نَبَأ here is undefined noun, indefinite noun. Common noun, not proper noun. It's not مَعْرِفَة. Because I can make it a proper noun and ma'rifa by adding al, and it will become an naba. Amma yatasaalun an naba al-azim an naba. So here it is nakira, it is common noun. And when it is nakira, it denotes generality. So any news, that's why the translator said, any news. How did he know? Why did he say that? Because of it is nakira, and nakira denotes generality. So any news, a fasiq, a person, evildoer, unreliable, comes and brings any news, binaba, what should we do, our Lord? فَتَبَيَّنُوا. فَتَبَيَّنُوا means verify this news. Check it. Sift it. Check this news. If we follow what Allah says, rumors will die out. Rumors will die out. Someone comes. Oh, so-and-so said this. Did you hear him? No. Then shut up. Or someone whom I trust told me. Who's that one? So, Allah tells us, verify. Don't relate and transmit things based on hearsay. I heard it. No. Verify it. إن جاءكم فاسق بنبأ فتبينوا. Someone might say, okay, this is in the case of the fasiq. How about in the case of the thiqa? Okay, there's something called in usul al-fiqh mafhum al-mukhalafa, which means the ayah says if an evildoer brings about any news, verify. This means implicitly, by implication, that if the one who brings the news is reliable, trustworthy, accept it. This is called mafhum al-mukhalafa. Okay, which means the conception of the opposite. If he is a fasiq, verify. Which means if he is not fasiq, no need to verify. Okay. To use mafhum al-mukhalafa is one of the weakest arguments. For example, in the court, if someone files a case against anyone, okay, the Muslim judge, the Muslim qadi will ask, the claimant, the one who claims, for bayina, to produce his evidence. He will not consider because he is trustworthy, reliable, he is a scholar, that is enough. Whatever he says is correct without producing evidence. Now, produce your evidence. And remember the famous story when Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he lost his shield, Al-Hutamiyya, and he found it with the Jew. He told the Jew, this is mine. He said, no, it's mine. What to do? And Sayyidina Ali was the Khalifa, couldn't do anything. So he has to go to the Muslim Qadi. And the Muslim Qadi called both of them and told Sayyidina Ali and the Jew to stand in front of him. Then he asked Sayyidina Ali, what's your proof? What's your evidence that this shield is yours? He didn't say, I trust you, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, and you are the cousin of the Prophet ﷺ, and you are being given the good news that you are going to the Jannah. No. Produce your evidence, O Amir al-Mu'mineen. He said, I don't have. Then, do you have eyewitness? You have people who can witness and testify that this is yours? Said, yes, my sons, Hassan and Hussein. Said, you know, children cannot bear witness and testify for their father. And Sayyidina Ali, he knows that. Okay? He was a qadi in Yemen. Says, I don't have anything apart from that. The Muslim qadi told the Jew, the shield is yours. And the Jew became a Muslim. So, not because you are reliable, we accept your whatever you say. We have to verify, even though you are reliable. We check the authenticity of what you are saying. Ya ayyuha alladhina aman, will you believe in ja'akum fasiq? When a fasiq comes to you, because normally the people who will fabricate and the people who will lie and concoct are the fasiq ones. A pious one, righteous one will not do that. Fasiqun bi naba' fatabayyanu, verify it. An tusibu qawman. Why should we verify our Lord? Why? The explanation. And to see, lest you, in order to avoid harming others, harming people, and to see qawman, which means hatta la tusibu qawman, lest you not harm people bi jahala, unknowingly. So that's why you need to verify. Any news comes, we verify it. Today, how many emails you receive or messages you receive? And most of this information is, okay, fake. How many websites there on the net, electronic flyers, people who are cut and paste and spread the news, which is not authentic. So Islam teaches us to verify. And to see qawman bi jahala. Nowadays, the Photoshop, you can damage people's reputation. That's why in the court, they don't accept, oh, this is the photo, or this is the voice. All these things they reject and discredit. فَتَبَيَّنُوا أَن تُصِيبُ قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ, that you wrong people and harm people unknowingly. فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ, then you become regretful for what you have done. But it is too late. The damage already happened. You spoil the reputation of your brother or your sister, then it is a lie. Even if you apologize, then it already happened. So this is what Islam teaches, the verification. So, when the Salaf, they focus on the isnad, because Allah told them to verify. And this is what we need now to revive. Revive this the habit of verification. Also, Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 111, وَقَالُوا لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا تِلْكَ أَمَانِيُّهُمْ قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. La ilaha illallah. The Jews and Christians each claim that none will enter paradise except those of their own faith. These are their desires. Amanihum. Reply, O Prophet, show me your proof if what you say is true. Allahu Akbar. See the clarity in Islam? Jews and Christians say, you Gentiles, they call us Gentiles. Now, if you are not a Jew, you are from the Gentiles. And you are going to hellfire. As a matter of fact, the Talmud says, the Gentiles are donkeys, so we have to ride them. So Allah says, وَقَالُوا لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةِ, as if the Jannah is theirs, their own property. So they allow whom they want and they deprive of entering the Jannah whomever they want. You know, the church in the medieval ages was doing the same thing, selling tickets. With the deceased, when the family, they come with the body of the deceased and they ask the priest to conduct the services and the rituals, and they have to pay, they have to buy for him a place in Jannah, and they sell. Oh, la hawla illa billah. وَقَالُوا لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا. So the Jews and Christians, okay, they claim that. They say, no, oh, do not enter the Jannah, okay, except those of their faith. If you are a Jew, yes, you will go to Jannah. Or a Christian. I'm a Muslim, no place for you in Jannah. You go to hell. This is how they consider us. In their view, we are kafirs. We are kafirs. So I have to believe in the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and Christ died for my sin. Then I will go to Jannah. If I say God is one, he begot no son, nor he was begotten, no, you are destined to hell. قَالُوا لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا. You have to be one of the two, either a Jew or a Christian. The answer came from Allah. Allah said, Tilka amaniyuhum. Alhamdulillah, these are their own. That what this claim and what they said is false, it's not true. So Allah belied them and He said, Tilka amaniyuhum. They dream, they wish. These are their wishes, these are their desires. Then Allah told them, those who claim that. Qul, say, Qul hatu burhanakum in kuntum sadiqeen. You claim that only the Jews and the Christians will enter paradise. Okay, produce your proof and evidence. Qul, O Muhammad, tell them. Produce, hatu. Let us have a look. Let us test. Let's look at your proof. Show me your proof. Hatu burhanakum. Where is the Quran? Where's the evidence? Where's the proof? Qul hatu burhanakum. In kuntum sadiqeen. If what you say is true. What you say is true. This is what the Quran teaches us, my dear brothers and sisters. Anyone says anything, produce the evidence. Show us. Anyone, agnostic, atheist, Jew, Christian, whoever, claims anything, let us have a look. Oh, this is what I believe. Keep it to yourself. Oh, this is what I feel. Keep your feeling to yourselves. We don't follow feelings and personal feelings. And this was, oh, I saw this in the dream. How many people will come across? Oh, Christ came to me in the dream. Okay. That's your business. You cannot convince me. Because Satan can come to you and tell you that he is Christ. And many of those people say, oh, I saw Christ, I saw Mary, all that. The Shayateen mislead them. Come to them. I told you, and I mentioned this story many times, what happened to Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahimahullah. And by the way, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani is from Ahlus Sunnah. He's Hanbali, people of the Tawheed. And all what you hear and all these stories are lies. Okay. So he was praying to Hajjud. And then the room was lit up. And a voice came. Oh, Abdul Qadir. No need for you to pray anymore. I am pleased with you. You reach the highest level, the level of yaqeen, okay? No need for you to pray. Abdul Qadir Jilani, Imam, rahimahullah, realized that was shaitan. So he told, in response to the voice, Allah and Allah, because he said, I'm God, I'm Allah. No answer came back. And then the voice came back. O Abdul Qadir, I failed to fool you. I have fooled so many people by this before. And then that light vanished and he disappeared. That was Shaitan. The same thing, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. He was in jail in Egypt. Shaitan came, like Ibn Taymiyyah, to the students of Ibn Taymiyyah, talking to them. Shaitan. Two men, they were in trouble. Ibn Taymiyyah was in jail. And they said, oh, Ibn Taymiyyah. He's there in front of them. Shaitan. To make them believe that Ibn Taymiyyah can help them. So the jinn, they know how to fool the people. And I recall now, or maybe this 30 years back, around that, this number, this figure, without mentioning the name of the country, the idols started drinking milk. Milk. They pour the milk for the idol drinks it. No milk there. So much so that there was shortage in milk. So who was drinking the milk? The idol? No. Shayateen. Shayateen. Or someone might say, you know, the idol talked to me, or his eye moved. Shaitan appeared. Or the Sufis, okay? They said, the Wali, talk to me. The Wali, talk to me. I heard him. So these are tricks of how the Shaitan fools the people. So always, this Ummah, Islam, my dear brothers and sisters, came to liberate the mind from all these shackles of superstition. No room for superstitions in Islam. No room for that. So anyone claims, "Qul hatu burhanakum in kuntum sadiqin." Okay, produce the evidence. Anyone. Where is the evidence? Where's the proof? Let's have a look at it. Also, Allah says in Surah Al-Ahqaf, ayah number 4, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أرأيتم ما تدعون من دون الله أروني ماذا خلقوا من الأرض أم لهم شرك في السماوات توني بكتاب من قبل هذا أو أثارة من علم إن كنتم صادقين. Ask them, O Prophet, have you considered whatever idols you invoke besides Allah? Show me what they have created on earth. Or do they have a share in the creation of heavens? Bring me a scripture revealed before this Quran, or a shred of knowledge if what you say is true. Let us reflect. See the Quranic responses. And replies and answers. So strong. Because Allah talks. Qul say, Ara'aytum. O Muhammad, Qul, tell them. Ask them. Ara'aytum ma tad'una min dunillah. Have you considered whatever you invoke besides Allah? Araytum ma tad'una, ma. And ma normally used for the non-thinking things, inanimate normally, okay, or animals. And man for the humans. Qul araytum ma tad'una. Have you considered whatever you invoke, the idols and the like, besides Allah? أروني ماذا خلقوا من الأرض. Show me these idols, these false deities. Show me. What have they created? What have they created on earth? What did they do? You worship the sun. Show me what the sun created. You worship the moon. Show me what the moon created. The sun is created. Herself is created. Moon is created. And they are following the instructions of their creator. They rise at the same time. And the sun sets at the same time. The moon comes at the same time and disappears at the same time. So if this is a true deity, okay, show me. Show me what did this deity create? ماذا خلقوا من الأرض? أم لهم شرك في السماوات? See the Quran, the arguments in the Quran. So Allah is saying, ask them this question, pose the question to them to force them to reflect and use their mind. أَرَأَيْتُمَا تَدْعُونَ? Have you considered what you worship and you call besides Allah? أَرُونِي مَاذَا خَلَقُ? You worship them. So show me. Show me what they created. ماذا خلقوا من الأرض? What have they created on earth? أم لهم شرك في السماوات? But they have a share in the creation of heavens. So they are partners with God. Are they partners with God? So they have portion of the kingdom. أم لهم شرك في السماوات? This is a question. These are questions posed to them. Then Allah said, "Tuni bi kitab. Tuni bi kitab min qabl hada. Aw atharatan min ilmi kuntum sadiqin." So bring me a scripture revealed before this Quran. That supports your argument. Or a shred of knowledge. أو أثار من علم. Shred of knowledge. Fragment of knowledge. Portion of knowledge. أو أثار من علم. To support your argument that these false deities we worship, that type of worship is valid. Show me. In kuntum sadiqeen. If what you say is true. So in Islam, you don't accept anything. Anything. Show me. What is the proof that this thing is right and correct and they have to worship it? So you have to produce evidence for that. Okay. So that's why. Okay. This is what the Islam teaches us. So when the Salaf they say, we need to verify, how you will verify? By Islam. We don't accept anything. What's the proof? What's the evidence? And don't you see nowadays? Okay, people, they keep verifying. Okay? Even in the reputable news agency and this, they, if they report something, they say, and it hasn't been verified from an independent source. That they heard this from a single source, and no other independent source verified it, the news. روى الديلمي عن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما مرفوعا العلم دين والصلاة دين فانظروا عمن تأخذون هذا العلم وكيف تصلون هذه الصلاة فإنكم تسألون يوم القيامة. Knowledge is part of the deen, the ilm. Al-ilm is deen, part of the deen. Was-salatu deen, and prayer is part of the deen. Fanzuru, so check whom you take your knowledge from, the one you are going to study and take your knowledge from. Who's he? Is he following Kitab and Sunnah? Or he's going to fill your mind with unauthentic information? So check whom you take your knowledge from and the way you perform this prayer. Okay, Fatul Saloon. Ibn Umar is telling the he's a student and you should know how to pray. That means to learn the Sunnah. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli, so pray as you have seen me pray. Because you will be questioned on the day of resurrection. Imam Muslim also, in the introduction, Muqaddimah Sahih Muslim, the preface in the introduction, and sometimes people, they quote something mentioned in the introduction, in the preface, and they say reported by Muslim. No. The introduction, the preface, is not the Sahih of Imam Muslim. The Sahih of Imam Muslim is the Ahadith. So in the introduction, in the Muqaddimah, Imam Muslim mentioned what Abdullah ibn Mubarak said. And Abdullah ibn Mubarak, when you read his biography, okay, the Imam, the Zahid, the Muhaddith, the Faqih, the Mujahid. They mentioned in his biography, they said, we made comparison between Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak and the Sahaba. And we hardly find any difference between them, between him and the Sahaba, except that the Sahaba, they saw the Prophet ﷺ. Abdullah ibn Mubarak, 1 year he will go for Hajj, the second he will be on the front lines, frontiers, ribat, jihad. He sent a poem to Al-Fudayl, telling him, come, come. Al-Fudayl, you are there in Mecca. The real ibadah is here, facing and confronting the enemies. Come to taste the real ibadah. So Al-Fudayl, rahimahullah, they said, when he read the letter, he wept and cried. This is Abdullah ibn Mubarak. One day, he entered Baghdad. He came from his town. the parade of Harun al-Rashid was passing by. Harun al-Rashid with his entourage and all those people with him. And his mother was watching. And there was a crowd. And all of a sudden, the crowd left, seeing the mawqib and the parade of the Khalifa. And they followed a man. He said, who's that? That the people left Harun al-Rashid and followed him. They said, this is Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak. They said, the scholar of Khorasan. So she said, this is the real kingdom. Okay? This is the real kingdom, not the kingdom of Harun. So Imam Muslim mentioned what Abdullah ibn Mubarak said about the importance of the isnad. So Imam Muslim quoted that and mentioned it in the introduction or in the preface of his Sahih. So Ibn Mubarak rahimahullah said, al-isnadu min ad-deen. إسناد من الدين. لولا الإسناد لقال من شاء ما شاء. لقال من شاء ما شاء وما قال من شاء على ما شاء. Which means he said إسناد is part of the deen. Had there been not an إسناد, imagine there is no إسناد. Then whoever wished to say whatever he wanted, he could have said it. Someone wanted to say something, he could have said whatever he wanted. He wished to say something, he would say, could have said whatever he wanted. But because of the isnad, anyone says something, he opens his mouth. Show the isnad. Produce your evidence. That's right. Allah protected the deen. Because this ummah is the ummah of isnad. Ummah of isnad. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah said, الذي يطلب الحديث بلا سند الذي يطلب الحديث بلا سند كحاطب ليل يحمل الحطب وفيه أفعى وهو لا يدري. الله أكبر. Beautiful, beautiful saying. الذي يطلب الحديث بلا سند كحاطب ليل يحمل الحطب وفيه أفعى وهو لا يدري. The meaning, Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah said, whoever seeks to learn the hadith without paying attention to the importance of the isnad, he is like someone who carries a bundle of wood and therein is a snake which he is not aware of. Okay? A snake. You're carrying bundle of wood, twigs, and there's a snake therein. And you don't know that there is a snake inside, and this snake will bite you. Which means the knowledge you have is not authentic. And it will harm you. And because it's not based on isnad. And you may mislead people. And definitely, if it is unauthentic and you are sharing it and spreading it, you will mislead the people. But if it is based on Islam and authentic, so you know that this is from the Wahi, this is from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But if you just, anyone says anything, you write it, then you are just like one, the wood collector, someone who collects wood, and then he formed the bundle, put it on his back, and there was a snake inside, and he's not aware there was a snake. And the snake will bite him. The ulama, they say about Imam Suyuti. Imam Suyuti, he wrote about everything. Everything. All the things that he wanted to write, he wrote about. And they say about him when it comes to the hadith, says Suyuti, Hatibu Layl, Hatibu Laylin, Suyuti, Rahimallah. Hatibu Layl, the one who collects wood at night. Let's say that you are in camping and you are in a camp and you want to cook your food, so you go and start looking for wood. So you are at night, you don't see. So you are collecting. And you might collect something that will harm you, a snake, because you are in the dark. Okay? That's why the books of Imam Suyuti are full of weak narrations. Because no verification, just collecting. And he wrote, as I told you, in many, many things he wrote, even about how to make the kunafa, the sweet. He wrote about that. So here Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah is saying, the one who seeks knowledge without verification, without asking for the isnad, that means without learning the hadith, and checking the authenticity of the hadith, then is like someone who carries a bundle of wood and there is a snake there and he's not aware of it. So the isnad is part of the deen and we are the ummah of isnad. So no isnad, we don't accept the narration. Anyone comes, claims anything, you say, produce your evidence if you are telling the truth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us to remain steadfast on this beautiful deen. May Allah keep us to remain treading on the path of the Salaf, the path of the companions, their students, and the students of their students. And may Allah raise us in their company and in the company of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. May Allah keep us to remain steadfast in this beautiful deen until we meet him and find him pleased with all of us. Ameen. May Allah unite our ummah in the haq. May Allah unite our hearts in the haq. May Allah overlook and forgive our faults and mistakes and ignorance. May Allah bless us with the beneficial knowledge and righteous deeds. Ameen. And may Allah reward all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, immensely, for your patience and attendance. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullahu khaira. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh Salem. Brothers and sisters, this is the question and answer time. If you have questions, please send them in fast so that we can address them, inshallah. You may also ask questions through the mic by pressing the hands icon, and inshallah, we'll take your questions through the mic. So the first question received, assalamu alaikum. Is it permissible to say good night, sweet dreams to someone who is going to sleep?
There's nothing wrong with that. Okay. There's nothing wrong with that. And al-aslu fi adatin nas al-ibaha. So things, practices of the people, if these things and sayings, they do not go against and establish evidence and explicit evidence, everything is permissible. Okay. Next.
The next question, is it permissible for one to delay his adhkar and not do them immediately until after praying the sunan mu'akkada that comes after the obligatory salah, for example, the one that comes after dhuhr, maghrib, and isha?
Then he is not following the sunnah, because the adhkar you make them after your salah, before you pray the sunnah. For praying your sunnah, the Prophet ﷺ, he would say his adhkar. So why don't you follow your Prophet ﷺ? وَخَيْرُ الْهَدِي هَدِي مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And the best guidance is the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ. So follow your Prophet and make your adhkar when you conclude your fard salah. I hope this is clear to the question, inshallah.
Inshallah, it is clear, Sheikh. We go to the next question. If I sell a product to a person and we had an agreement on installment payments, can I sign a contract with him that if he does not pay my money as and when due, I will take that product back from him and sell it and take my remaining balance of the cost price I purchased the product for and return the remaining money to him? I'm doing this in order to play safe with my money and not get cheated just in case he refuses to pay up.
What you can do, you can ask something in advance, for example, like checks, okay, with the date, okay, for the payment, okay, and when the date is due, okay, you have, okay, that check you can go and draw. You can have something like that. Because, and this is what is practiced, okay? You have to give something, okay, to guarantee that something that my money I will receive. And this, of course, the check is payable only on that date. I cannot go and cash the check from the bank before that. And Allah knows best. Next.
The next question. If a person who had urine incontinence did not do the following, perform istinja, use something to hold back the urine from coming out, and renew their wudu for each prayer time, then should they repeat their past prayers?
So the person who has this issue, sickness, that the due to a problem in the bladder that's untold, and so the urine is coming always. So the ulama, they say, yes, you take a wudu, and then you put something, okay, like tissues or around the organ, so that your clothes will not be soaked with the najasa. And then you pray, and your salah is valid, even if the urine comes while you are in the salah. because the ulama they treat her like a woman who's having her continuous bleeding, istihada. Like they treat it like istihada, And a woman who has continuous bleeding, she takes wudu, and the Prophet ﷺ told the woman, and then to use sanitary towels and to pray. So the blood is coming out. Okay, the Sahabi said, innama asid yuthajya. Okay, it is gushing out the blood. So the Prophet ﷺ told her that you take wudu and then put sanitary towels and then you pray. One of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, she was in the masjid, i'tikaf, with the Prophet ﷺ, and she had istihada, continuous bleeding. And the blood was dripping. So in order to stop the blooding from reaching the floor, she placed utensil or a container beneath her. So the blood, drops of blood are coming out while she is in the salah. So this questioner, after answering the call of nature, clean yourself, then put something around the organ, and then pray. Even if it is coming during the salah, your salah is correct. The same thing if you are making tawaf. Okay, so urine came out, carry on. Okay, because this is sickness. I hope this is clear to the questioner. But if you didn't take the precautions, okay, and your clothes are soaked with najasa, you didn't do what you are supposed to do. Because the cleanliness or the tahara of the garment is a condition for the validity of the salah. I hope this is clear to the questioner.
Inshallah, it is clear, Sheikh.
Should he or she repeat the prayers clean and no precautions and full of najasa? The answer, preferably, if not obligatory, to repeat the salah. That's the best thing you have to do. Next.
The next question, Sheikh. Dear Honorable Sheikh, Barakallahu Fiqh, for a very interesting lesson. I would like to ask about authenticity of the hadith about the age of Mother Khadija when she married the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I came across a statement that the narration is weak and that one of the narrators is a liar, but no name of the untrustworthy person was mentioned. Please advise.
Okay, ask her to send the narration. We'll check it for her, inshallah. Next.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh, for the lesson. Sheikh, please explain the fiqh in ayah 239 of Surah Al-Baqarah for my clear understanding. Surah Al-Baqarah 239.
1 minute. What's the number of the ayah?
239.
Okay. Okay, so this is talks about shortening the prayers when in war there are different ways of praying. This is called Salat al-Khawf, prayer when we are in state of fear. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ فَرِجَالًا أَوْ رُكْبَانًا فَإِذَا أَمِنْتُمْ فَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَمَا عَلَّمَكُمْ مَا لَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ. The meaning, if you are in danger, pray on foot or while riding, depending on the situation. You know that the Salat al-Khawf, depending on the situation, the case, the severity of the fear. Okay. And where the place of the enemy, is your enemy in front of you or behind you? And when you are in the battlefield, you don't leave the salah. You are fighting while you are in salah. If you are in danger, pray on foot or while riding. But when you are safe, take time to remember Allah for teaching you what you did not know. So maybe the questioner is asking, what when we are safe, should we shorten the prayer? That means we shorten the prayers only when we are in state of fear. But when we are safe, we don't shorten the prayer. And similar question was raised to Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. He said, this is what I felt, and that if we feel safe, we pray, complete the prayers, we don't shorten them. So he said, I asked the Prophet ﷺ for that, and he said, this is a gift from Allah. Even if you are safe while you are traveling, you shorten your prayers, you shorten them. I hope this is clear to the questioner.
Allah, it is clear, Sheikh. We'll go to the next question. We will take Sadman Saqib, inshallah. Please unmute your mic.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa Sheikh.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah khair for this beneficial listener, as always. She got a question about, you know, studying psychology and, you know, treating people, you know, after learning it. So what is the ruling on it? You know?
Ruling on what?
Ruling on, you know, studying psychology and, you know, advising people. Sometimes people, you know, compromise deen and, you know, tend to advise people who are suffering from depressions or anxiety, which you know has many issues, you know, regarding Islam. So overall, what is the ruling on, you know, studying psychology?
Issues like what? You say they
have, you know, some. No, I'm sure.
Yeah, issues against Islam, like what?
Some people are suffering from depression, and the psychology, you know, suggests him to listen to music, or, you know, sometimes advice to premix from a personal experience, which is, you know, against Islam. But, you know, sometimes he, you know, boasts about that. Yeah, he needs the treatment like this. So I am the doctor. So something like that, you know, doing advising to do something haram for their mental peace as a treatment. While Islam, you know, forbids to, you know, premix or something, listening to music or something like that.
Of course, as a Muslim, as a science, you can study. There's no problem. And alhamdulillah, we have many Muslims who are psychologists. Okay. And we can also add to this science what Islam teaches, because Islam addresses and treats such illnesses, depression, and all that stuff. I read about a brother in America. He has a clinic where he treats his patients by the Quran. By the Quran. Non-Muslims either. Okay, so to study psychology, no problem. There's no harm. But then when your client, this patient, the patient comes, okay, you give them the right guidance, which is the something will build up their spirituality, their iman, their connection with their creator. Not that you recommend for them, because you are a Muslim, you recommend to them something which is haram. Okay. You don't recommend something haram for them. You give them better option. Okay. Unless you are the case is severe and it requires some medication or some medicines. Okay, to allay the suffering and reduce the suffering for that particular patient. But as a rule of thumb, you don't recommend something haram for them. Okay, you give them something better as a Muslim. Is it clear to you?
Yes, Sheikh. Jazakallah khair.
Wayak.
Barakallah fiik. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. That was our final question of tonight's session. If you'd like to conclude, inshallah.
Barakallah fiikum. Jazakallah khair. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, bless your family. May Allah protect you, protect your family. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remain steadfast in this beautiful deen, until we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and find him pleased with the qualifiers. Ameen. Until we meet inshallah in the coming session, I leave you in Allah's company and protection. Bihifdhillahi wa ra'ayatihi. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.